Anyway, Sheila has been a part of my life since I was approximately, how long has it been? Nine-ish. And Sheila's daughter was my best friend for a very long time. Yeah, I'm only 29. And Sheila is a lady of the word. And she studies a lot. And it is inside of her and it comes outside of her. And I just want you to go for it today. All right? Okay. Just get her done. Don't think too much about it.
I didn't.
Good. Just let her flow. Yep. Have the spirit of me over it. All right. All right. Da-da-da-da!
Sorry. Oh, thank you, dear. Thank you. You're on something today?
That was a joke.
When Jenny talked about the worship music that she picked out today, I thought that was so appropriate because I sat down. I mean, I kind of had this stirring in my heart, talking about new beginnings is what our theme is as a church. And so I had some different things stirring in my heart. And I sat down to do it, and I didn't want to do it because new beginnings, I was like, nothing's really new. I still have the same old thing in my life that hasn't changed. Hasn't changed for 5 years now. And it's something near and dear to my heart. And so I didn't want to do it. I sat down and I'm like, God, I just don't want to do this. And I had to spend some time alone with him. And it was good. I just sat there with myself, with my thing that isn't changing. And one of the things God said is new beginnings really in life are few and further between than starting over. So if you think about a new beginning in your life, like you may be going to school for the first time as a kindergartner, that's a new beginning in your life. You graduate, that's a new beginning. You get married, that's a new beginning. You become a parent, that's a new beginning. So those are fewer than starting over. I don't have scripture to put up on the thing today because I really want you to concentrate on listening. And I'm not really even giving you the scripture references to a lot of this because, for one, we all have Google. And I was sitting there and I was like going to write all these, you know, the scripture reference out. And I'm like, no, people can look it up yourselves because we all have Google and we can all study the word of God for ourselves. So there's, let me see, I'm going to skip this here. So I want to look at starting over, just giving you a few examples of starting over people in the Bible that have started over. Just going to go through this really quick. Adam and Eve started over, didn't they? Out of the Garden of Eden. Yeah, David had to start over after he had an affair, had the woman's husband murdered, had a baby and it died. He had to start over. Ruth had to start over when her husband died and she followed her mother-in-law. Joseph started over when he was in prison. How many times did Joseph start over? Yeah, the disciples started over. After Jesus left, they went, I'm going back to fishing. You know, I'm going back. God even started over, didn't he? When he wiped out the flood, with the flood, he started over. It wasn't a new beginning because he still had a few people, but it was a start over. The prodigal son started over when he came back. He still came back to the father. It wasn't a new beginning. It was the same father, same brother, but he started over. The prostitute, you know, at the, what's her name, Mary Magdalene, she started over. The woman at the well started over. The possessed man that Jesus delivered, he started over. He stayed in town. He didn't get a new beginning and follow Jesus. Jesus said, stay where you are and start over. The woman with an issue of blood, she started over. Her health started over. We ourselves start over many, many times. Many, many times. Sometimes they're big, sometimes they're small. But every day is a start over. One of the things I want to do to help you get in contact or get in touch with your starting over is thinking about some things. It's the Bible says the small foxes, what do? They ruin the vine. They ruin our relationship with Jesus Christ. They ruin our relationship with the Father. So I looked at the fruit of the Spirit. What are the fruits of the Spirit? They're love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, generosity, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Everybody walking in those? Yeah. Yeah. But then I looked at this and I went the other way. I'm like, okay, God, I know that I need to work on that. I know I need to get in better. But I was kind of a little removed from it. It didn't really hit me until I went to the opposite of love. I looked up several words, but I just underlined just a few of the opposite. So the opposite of love is detest, indifferent. When Jenny said she went back around to give that money to that woman, that's love. She wasn't indifferent. How many times do I get indifferent? I mean, I can watch Netflix, I can get on Instagram and scroll through the reels and do all these wasteful times, play Spider, and then a commercial will come on maybe about like the Ukraine, not the Ukrainian, but the Jews. Have you ever seen those, the old women that need money, they need food, and they're just all old and they hardly have anything? I can even become indifferent to that. I can go, oh man, and then flip right to the next thing. The next commercial comes on. So, and then joy, misery. Do we ever have some misery in our life? Peace, irritation. How many of us walk around with a little irritation? I had a little irritation on the way to church today. A little irritation. He does. He's in the nursery where the big baby belongs. No, I'm kidding. That was good. He even said, he goes, well, you can use that in your sermon. I went, doesn't apply. I can be kindness, unkind. Oh, yeah. I can be unkind. Generosity, I can be stingy. I can be like, get a job, would ya? Just seriously. Faithfulness, barrenness. Not just unfaithful, but you could have things in your life that you're barren in. Whatever that may be, gentleness, harshness, eeks, ow, self-control, agitation. Do you ever get agitated? So some of these words, if they pricked your heart like they did mine, those are small foxes in our lives that God, I mean, they just helped me to get hooked up with God, to help me get hooked up with the joy, the love, the peace, the kindness, the generosity, the fruits of the Spirit that God really wants us to have, to realize that I have some small foxes in my life going on. And I want to change. It's a new year, but it's the same old problem. Nothing magical happens. No, nothing magical happens at all. It's the same old, same old. But as I sat there talking to God about this, Moses drops into my mind. And Moses, this is out of Acts 7, chapter 20, and it's also referenced back to Exodus. I'm going to give you a quick recap on Moses. When Moses was a baby, he was put in a basket, and he was saved out of the River Nile by Pharaoh's daughter. The River Nile was also to kill the Hebrew babies at that time. The women, the Hebrew women that had babies, they were supposed to throw them into the river. Somebody was supposed to throw them into the river. That was to be their grave, their death. But Moses was taken out of the River Nile Verse 22 says, Pharaoh gave the order, every Hebrew boy that is born must be thrown into the Nile, but not every girl. So here's another interesting thing. Moses, when he came back later to deliver the people, the Hebrews from Egypt, how many men were his age? Hebrews. They were dead. He was saved. So there wasn't any. I mean, that was just an interesting thought. So Pharaoh's daughter raised Moses. She delivered him out of the river. So for 40 years, Moses was raised in the palace by Pharaoh's daughter. He lived in the kingdom. He was taught the best education. He had the best food. He had the best clothing. But yet, when he turned 40, the Bible says, when he was 40 years old, it came to his heart to visit his kinsmen, to help them and to care for them. So obviously, Pharaoh knew that he wasn't an Egyptian, but that his real family was over here. He had it in his heart to visit his kinsmen. I don't think that ever goes away. When your heart goes to your family, it's always with your family. Jenny talks about my daughter, and the tears come to her eyes every time. Her and I could hug each other and sit down and cry our eyes out, couldn't we, girl? Yeah. She has a spiritual kinship with my daughter. I have a mother-daughter thing that never goes away. It'll never go away till the day I die. And so he went to go visit his Hebrew brothers and sisters. And when he got out there, he saw a Egyptian kill a Hebrew person. So what did Moses do? He went and killed the Egyptian person. And then the next day he went back out and he saw two Hebrew brothers fighting. He's like, why are you fighting your brothers? And one guy said, who do you think you are? Are you going to kill us like you killed that Egyptian? And so what did Moses do? He went into shame. His sin got exposed and he went into shame. And he said he left. It said he left. So he's 40 years old. He tries to go back to his family. Didn't work out how he had it planned. He went to go help and he left. So during that time, in that time that he left, there's another 40-year period. And he says he had two sons during that 40-year period. And then God showed him a burning bush. So 40 years he's raised in the palace, 40 years he's out in the wilderness. He says he goes out to the wilderness, he gets married, he has two boys. And at 40 years later, he sees the burning bush. And God calls him to a holy place. He says, I want you to go back. I want you to go back to your family. Now's the time where I dropped that in your heart 40 years ago to help your family. I'm putting it back in your heart 40 years later. So how old is he now? 80 years old. 80 years old to go back and do what you wanted to do 40 years ago. Didn't work out because you kind of got in there and you started doing it yourself. How many of us do that? I do it all the time. And it can delay us. So 40 years, he goes back to Hebrews to help them. So then he has two children. He does that. He goes back to help. So do you know how old Moses was when he died? 120. So think about that. 40 years in the palace, 40 years in the wilderness raising a family, and 40 years with the Hebrew people, never getting to enter the promised land. 40, 40, 40. The majority of his life was spent in the wilderness. Part of his life was spent doing his thing. The rest of it was spent doing God's thing. I started to kind of divide my life up into that. I'm like, I got some growing up to do. I got some growing up to do. So I'm sitting there not wanting to do this new beginnings message and really, quite frankly, saying, God, I have no joy in anything. Kind of over this life. Not that I'm thinking about ending it. Please don't think that. And I don't mean to be a downer because there's definitely the other side. So I'm sitting there and I'm talking to God, and then I just start talking to him about the word of God, and it starts coming to me, and things begin to change. But before we go there, this really cool thing happened. God just is so cool. If you ever doubt the love of God, I have this bookmark. I have no idea where I got this bookmark. None whatsoever. And it's a poem by Woodrow Kroll. And it's called Start Over. And this is how it goes. When you trusted Jesus and walked his way, when you felt his hand lead you day by day, but your steps now take you another way. Start over. When you've made your plans and they've gone awry, when you've tried your best till there's no more try, when you failed yourself and you don't know why, start over. When you told your friends what you plan to do, but when you trusted them, but they did not come through, now you're all alone and it's up to you. Start over. When you failed your kids and they're grown and gone, but when you've done your best, but it turned out wrong, and now your grandkids have come along, start over. When you've prayed to God so you'll know his will, when you prayed and prayed, but you don't know still, when you want to stop because you've had your fill, start over. When you think you're finished and want to quit, when you've bottomed out in life's deepest pit, when you've tried and tried to get out of it, start over. When the year's been long and success few, when December comes and you're feeling blue, God gives January just so you start over. Starting over means victory's won. Starting over means a race will a well run. Starting over means the Lord's well done. So don't just sit there, start over. Is that not cool? That spoke to my heart. Like somebody put my heart into words on a bookmark. Got it in my house, got it in front of me at just this time. That is God. And that is like you're saying, don't overthink things. God is in us. We don't have to overthink things. Usually when I do a sermon, I get it on my, I make a big,
you do.
It's way too much. This is my sermon. This is all the farther it got. And I looked at it and I went, I'm done. It's good enough. And I went on with the day, and Craig and I just went on about our day, and I didn't give it, I kept thinking about it. But here's the cool thing. Even laying in bed this morning, God gave me this example. So here's our left hand. I might need a stand to do this. Anyway, I can switch hands. Here's our left hand. So here's all the things, the old things, right? When we magically think in the new year, everything's going to be new, but they're still here. So get your left hand out. Everybody, get your left hand out. Kind of look at it. You know, get it down here, kind of look at it. And on your thumb, just begin to think about those things that are old in your life that are haven't gone away, or they're still in the back of your mind. They're still nagging you. There's still those things, the opposite, you know, of the fruit of the Spirit. And look at them. I mean, some of us could start to cry. Some of us could start to get worried. Some of us could start to get frustrated. If I'm looking at this. I'm looking at this. But then God said, but I'm over here. So if you put your right hand up and you have your left hand up and you look over here, you can't see your left hand. You could just see a peripheral vision of it, right? And when you look at your right hand and you go, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, the Word of God, prayer, and you start to operate in this, and it's really interesting because this, the Father's pointing at your troubles, And what runs between this hand and this hand is our heart, the things that we care about, the things that are near and dear to us, that connect us. And if I keep my eyes over here and I lift him up, that I have to trust. I have to let go of this. You can't focus on two things at once. I mean, you can try and you can, but you'll be distracted. So with this right hand, this is what I want you to concentrate. This is just the word of God. I want you to think about the left hand, but raise the right hand up. And this is what God is saying. His mercy is new every morning. Keep on keeping on. That's starting over. Ask and it shall be given to you. Seek and you shall find. Keep on asking. Keep on seeking. Keep on keeping on. Nothing is impossible with God. Nothing is too difficult for God. No weapon that is formed against you shall prosper. Every tongue that rises up against you, you shall show to be in the wrong, for this is your heritage in the Lord. And it's not even a weapon that somebody else has to cause. It can be a weapon you did yourself. And these are all scriptures that God just began to pour, and I just started writing them down. Don't know the address, but I know the word. God thinks about you as many grains of sand there are on the beaches. If we're lifting up God, we don't need to concentrate on this all the time. We can go on and live our life. I think if I thought about something, one thing, as many grains of sand there are on the beaches, I might come up with a solution, like in those think tanks. And God's our think tank. He's already working on things. God is for you and not against you. This is church right now, by the way. This is the word of God. This is what we're here for, to lift up the word of God, to let that settle in our hearts. Jesus came to heal the brokenhearted. All God's promises are yes and amen. If God be for you, who can be against you? God will give you a double portion for your troubles. God gives us beauty for ashes. Joy comes in the morning. Our strength comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. God has every hair on your head numbered. Jesus died on the cross while we were yet sinners. You know what? Something that's interesting is one time I was sitting at work, this was years ago, and I said, God, I feel like such a failure. I just look like such a failure. And God said, yeah, Jesus looked like a failure on the cross too. But he wasn't. God does not withhold anything from us, not even his begotten son. It is God's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Cast your cares on God, for he cares about you. God will never leave you or forsake you. No, not ever. God knows the thoughts he has for you. They are good thoughts with good plans for your life. God is our comfort. God is our trust. God will forgive you. God loves you. God is the way maker where there seems to be no way. You need to rely on, depend on, and lean on God. God is your provider. God is your healer. God is our Father. Jesus is our Savior. Jesus is coming back for his church. Faith, hope, and love. The greatest of these is love. God first loved us. Joy is the Lord. The joy of the Lord is our strength. God's word is true. God's word accomplishes that what he sent it to do. God's word does not return void. God is the Alpha and the Omega. God is all powerful. God is all knowing. God is all present everywhere all the time. God is God and we are not. Ours is to trust and obey. When you start looking at your problems and you're looking and you just change it to over here, it's trusting, because you have to let go of that. You have to trust. It's accepting those things, the serenity prayer is, God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things that I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. God is all powerful. God is all knowing. God is all present everywhere all the time. God is God and we are not. We are to trust and obey. We are to take every thought captive into the obedience of Christ. We are to clothe ourselves in the armor of God. God's wisdom is our sister. When we cross the busy intersections, when we come into the city gates, wisdom is crying out. Wisdom is crying out to us. We need to hearken to that voice of wisdom. Next time you're going across an intersection or you're coming into town to town, say, God, I hearken to the voice of wisdom. Wisdom is my friend. Call that out. God's word does not return void. Rest in God. God strengthens us to difficulties. We do make progress on our high places of responsibility. That's in Habakkuk, where God strengthens us to difficulties. And we will make spiritual progress, physical progress on our high places of responsibility. We follow the voice of the good shepherd, the voice of the stranger we do not follow. A true new beginning for the church, for the body of Christ, for anybody, is to accept Jesus Christ. Because what did Jesus say? Behold, old things have passed away. Behold, all things have been made new. That's a new beginning, a true new beginning. So I do want to encourage you, if anyone has not accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, I want to pray with everybody, your eyes closed. I just want to pray. Father, I pray in the name of Jesus that there is not one of us that walks out of this room that is not born again, that is not saved. Lord, you are our Savior. You are our greatest gift that you have given to us. I pray, God, for our family members, for those of our family that are not saved, that are not born again, that you would cause it to be void and obsolete what is in their heart. God, that you would put labors in their path to help them, to teach them, to guide them, to lead them to Jesus Christ. We pray, God, for your will to be done, for your plan to be done, for God's strength, for God's joy, for God's faith, for God's love, for God's hope to fill our hearts. And we thank you for that, Father God, that even though we don't have a new beginning and all our problems are gone, we can start over and it's okay. And Lord, I thank you that as I sat in my living room just crying out to you, just sitting there in the pain and hearing you say, it's okay. It's okay. It doesn't matter if it's the same old, same old. It's like Jenny said, God steps over the facts. You may have these facts in our lives, but God, you give us the strength to step over them. You give us the strength that we need. I thank you, God, for your word that says, when I am weak, then you are strong. So it's okay to be weak. And I pray blessings over this church family. I pray blessings over our families. Lord, you know the things that are in our hearts that are troubling us. You are our comforter. You are our redeemer. And we trust you. As we just have that little simple little illustration of prayer into looking at the problems on the left hand and looking at the good news, a little easy example of the right hand, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, the Word of God and prayer. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name.